Good morning. My name is Ed Holohan, and this is The View from Here. Today is Friday the 13th. For a lot of folks in the Western world, Friday the 13th is a day of dread. The condition, called paraskevidekatriophobia, affects about 10% of the population of the United States. Estimates of lost revenues run as high as $800 million because so many people will not marry or travel or shop or even go to work on the 13th. The problem is the number itself. History is a little murky, but evidence of a negative take on 13 goes back thousands of years. For some of the ancients, 12 was the perfect number. The Sumerians used a numerical system based on 12, not 10. We still measure time in 12-hour bunches because of their system. 13 had the misfortune to follow 12. It's not easy following anything that's perfect, whether you're a lounge act or the perfect number. Poor number 13 has had to suffer for it all these centuries. 80% of all the high-rise buildings in Manhattan don't have a 13th floor. In thousands of hotels and office buildings, you will not find a room with the number 13 on the door. The ancient Egyptians actually thought that 13 was a lucky number. My guess is they never met a New Yorker. It's even tougher in many Asian societies where tetraphobia, the number 4, is the phobia of choice. The words for the number 4 and death sound very much alike in Cantonese, so 4 gets left out of everything, even when it's in the middle of a sequence. Canon's power shot cameras go from model G3 to model G5, and there are thousands more examples just like that. So what's the big deal? I confess that I have never been superstitious in the least, and not being superstitious has me scratching my head at all the people in the world who are. I wonder if humans need to be afraid of something. Anything to feel alive, perhaps to give the humdrum world a little bit of spice. Spilled salt, broken mirrors, ladders, step on a crack. The list goes on and on. People find things to be afraid of. I remember as a boy deliberately performing certain tasks to prove that superstitions were in the class with fairy tales, entertaining and useful for teaching lessons, but not the stuff to base your day on. So, to the horror of my favorite aunt, little Terry Dykeman, I would walk under ladders and throw spilled salt in the trash, not over my shoulder. Maybe superstition has to do with the simultaneous challenges of coincidence and powerlessness. We are not in charge of everything in our lives. There's a whole lot that we can't control, and we do like to have reasons for things. If no reason is apparent, we go to luck, both good and bad. Which brings us to one of the really big ideas in the existential scheme of things, the idea that stuff happens. A lot of us hate the idea that stuff happens, but sometimes event X on day Y happens for no good reason at all. It is purely random. But if one can assemble a list of causal behaviors, breaking a mirror, etc., then one has supplied the reason for a lousy day or a lousy life. I believe that life is wonderful sometimes and that life is awful sometimes. And how you handle that fact is what makes for a centered, happy existence. Unlucky numbers, spilled salt, and the myriad other things my Aunt Terry dreaded are just so much smoke that helps us feel like everything happens for a reason, especially the bad things. It's a tough lesson, I know. But it is also delightfully liberating to accept that so many of our beliefs and behaviors were made up a long, long time ago by other frightened folks, your ancestors and mine, trying to answer that great existential question, why did that happen? I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing that the answer is not Friday the 13th.